Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, forever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
would. Fred Hatcher, Fred Hatcher Jr., see my friends in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with us in the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't.
Hands up, eyes open to fifth clip. Face and get some of this shit. This could be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold of the sea, we talking about the path of clubs. Like the party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the sea. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I'm never gonna go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gonna go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. They know to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gonna have to kill us, close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level, hoe. Or go get a shovel, hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I never switch, never stick, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a piss, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit over business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And that would be perfect and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitating. I will cast a cover to my last trouble, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never, never, never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I done ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all won't listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never, never, never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, by wherever enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. But we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This ain't gonna never change. Never gonna bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's insane, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
The code for the streets, and I would never make a pro.
numbers that I know couldn't keep it. I would never testify, cop or plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police. And you could never catch me on the block without a strap. And I would never pull it out unless I'm out to black. And I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch. But ever pour and I live for them, God's in the back. And I
Never sit down.
option and kill before being capitulated. And now we'll be persistent, pushing this shit to the motherfucking limit. And if the EB pull the motherfucking trigger on the pistol without no hesitation, I will pass the cover to my last rebel, to my last goddamn roar. No one else will get with them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 Chicago, December 4th. Never, never, never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest thing I ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I just ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama either. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all wanna listen. I will never put profitable politics pressed with no obstacles. I will never just bring a negative to the UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of my enemy. Never, never, never. I have a path to curve by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, now wherever they live, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch, but we'll never, never, never have it. Never, 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 never.
Never gonna sugarcoat my nigga, I can never trade. I never cross my homies out, that ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto, where I slung crap it every day. Never knew no other way, this thing gon' never change. Never gonna bite my tongue, fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself, I swear to God I stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk the nigga down, do your thing, dawg. Never hit the dude for trying. That's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the thing, dawg. Many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never, never.
Don't forget about it.
Never, never,
never. Heads up, eyes open, the fist clench. Y'all know what this is, how we do this. So y'all, let's get locked and loaded for another episode of Free 'Em All Radio. We coming live this time from the historical stumping grounds, the historical Hampton House, y'all. That's right. So y'all, get to the pause for the calls if you can. Open those front doors and back windows. Let them know. Once again, it's on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Free 'Em All Radio. Y'all, so we you got a curfew. You might not want to jump in with it. You might jump in with a rap. As you said, trip. In other words, you have some certain places that you can't go. You might want to hold fast, jumping in this ride with us, because we might pull up in Ghana, we might pull up in Mississippi, Alabama, Cook County Jail, wherever you're saying. We out, man, in the spirit of internationalism, making history, taking history, taping history. So we can it's a weekly program of Black Panther Party Clubs, a weekly program at Hampton House, hosted by yours truly, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Robin Allen, a.k.a. the Lady of Rage. Y'all know that number, 929-477-3785. Press 1. If you're in the Cook County Jail, y'all, let's make it happen. Let's get it in. If you're down, y'all, send down Angola, Louisiana. If you're down, y'all, in New Orleans, the 504 area. Don't hesitate to call in. Got a few things we're going to be touching down there. You know what I'm saying? Three more left, y'all, see in the building. Cassandra Dennis Challenge in the building. Paris in the building. Three more, y'all. So let them know we are live and direct. Again, live and direct. Forgive me, I'm not on Instagram, so Paris, I might not. I need you to help me out again with this move. I don't know how we do it last time. I think I wasn't on Facebook last time. This time, I'm not going to do Instagram because the other phone is dead. Well, cutting and chasing. Technical difficulty, technical shortage. We're going to get straight at it, you know what I'm saying? It's been a making history, taking history, and taping history, y'all. Let's get locked and loaded. Lots of things is happening, man. This is a hell of a time. Lennon. And it says, Lenin, Russian theoretician of the Russian Revolution, Lenin has said, what takes people 20 years to learn in ordinary times, they can learn in 2 years in revolutionary times. We assess that we all practical purpose really on the heels of some real reactionary times. But you see the conscious level being up, man, every second. I mean, a million miles a minute. Leaps and bounds, the type of dialogue. We say, I became like reactionary, like just simply, you know, simply responsive, but revolutionary, a different revolution. Malcolm X says a complete change, a complete change. And
we've seen revolutionary periods, you know what I'm saying, during the Black Power Movement in the 60s. We've seen revolution throughout Africa. We've seen through the Vietnam, the Philippines. You've seen a different type of dynamic, different type of media coverage, a different you can look at the places such as Cuba, and you know what I'm saying, and with the transfer of power, with the, how sports was viewed, how relationships were viewed, how the gun was viewed, and a complete change of, you know what I'm saying, you can literally look at the tenure, who's in place, and say, wait a minute, it's a whole different dynamic with that. Such graphic examples in Vietnam. You had prostitutes were saying who were committed to take, you know, they would take American soldiers to bed and say, well, we commit, he won't get up in the morning. You had Malcolm talking about in China, the picture of a child on the front of the Time magazine. It was a child with a 45 to her father. A biological father, and said that he had betrayed the revolution. Different type of questions and contradictions. You've seen during the Black Power Movement of the 60s, you've seen the athletes. There's a different assessment of what an athlete was, you know, so different politics to it. You've seen, you know, such individuals, such, you know, forces, Muhammad Ali, falling on Cassius Clay, you know what I'm saying, that prior to this, you know what I'm saying, with different dynamics of Joe Lewis and so on and so forth, a.k.a. the Brown Bomber, when the ruling class would get us, would subjugate different individuals, say, okay, stay in your lane, your particular field. In other words, that's sports. Leave it at that. That's entertainment. That's my job. That's my relationship. And never making that connection, the politics to it. Basically, again, politics is food, clothing, and shelter. You see even how people are viewing right now, present day, electoral politics. You know, this is where I got a lot of respect comments. You say, Champ, I know you don't do politics. I say, no, on the contrary. I do politics. Everything is political. Words, terms, fashion. And I distinguish it from electoral politics. And in a certain stage, we have to engage in that. Do we use it or does it use us? To be able to, sports, it's a different, you had a different dynamic. You know, so you look at the climate, Richard Pryor. You can look at certain movies and see what sort of movies were coming out. A movie late 70s that it came out that the ruling class had shut down because there were uprisings. When it came out, it was entitled Goodbye, Uncle Tom. You can find it now on YouTube. And people say, why? This movie had been out. Why would the system trip with it? In certain periods in the time, it can, you know, you say, wait a minute, these are the same individuals, same song. Why is it a problem in certain states? The climate of it. It was a different climate. You look at during the American Revolution when it was said that it was not just said, it was actually occurring. Uprisings were happening from plantation to plantation. And the church at one stage of the game was used, it was like the other end of this, other side of the sword. In other words, certain things could be a benefit to the system, and certain things could be a detriment to the system, depending on who's in play, depending on the politics of it. Time, location. How we say politics is food, clothing, and shelter, but in addition to that, who has it? Who disperses it? How you view it? The Black Panther Party with the gun, May 2nd, 1967, marched up in the state legislature, was a different gun. You know what I'm saying? That the state had seen within our communities how people view the gun, whether it be to simply, you know what I'm saying, hunt rabbits, you know what I'm saying, to feed ourselves, or in particular, utilize against each other. When a party had politicized the gun, in fact, Minister Dewey Peterson had a lot of shit. He had to stress that we must even politicize the gun. It was viewed as a different gun. And in response, the state said, wait a minute, shut it down. The state via state representatives, such as Senator Mulford, it was technically the Mulford Act, but really was known, and it was up to the point of view, that's the Panther Bill. Why was it the Panther Bill? Because the people's conscience heightened to the point to know, if you have an issue with the gun now, And you can actually you can historically look at different periods of time when certain gun legislation was put into place. You can literally tie it into certain historical dates of the Emancipation Proclamation. You know what I'm saying? You can tell directly in tied to the black community. You say, wait, gun laws, when the gun became a discussion, was a problem with the gun, with the states, so wait a minute, now you can't afford it. It's a certain dynamic, like even when we talk about musical access to resources. This is a period now where the ruling class has to, I mean, the type of money, the type of resources that different individuals have access to. That's a certain period of time. They say, whoa, we can't have that. But the conscious level, the politics, is at a low. It's a different dynamic. We live in the Red Can Freedom Hall Radio, y'all. We got some phenomenal forces. Well, yeah, we're going to be talking about a number of different things. We're going to be talking about, we want you to call in your thoughts on the impact of the recent election, selection, whatever you want to view them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be talking about Mississippi. And my quick letter I. We're going to talk about Mississippi. We're going to go for it. But Alabama, it comes from Alabama, the case with the prisons, the strike in the Alabama prisons, it's one of them. We're going to talk about Mississippi, Jaheim McMillan, why is the clamor from the community, his mother Katrina, why is the common term people are saying, fuck Family Dollar, what is this, what's causing this here, what happened to Jaheim McMillan in front of Family Dollar down in Gulfport, Mississippi, what happened to this child, What are the people demanding? Why won't Family Dollar release the video footage? You know what I'm saying? What's the politics of family? You hear Family Dollar. What's the distinction between Family Dollar and Dollar General? You know what I'm saying? And not even say, well, they're all the same. You say, no, you look at the product, the quality of the products, and say, no, that's enough. What's actually, when you hear certain terms, we're automatically connected to the black community. Y'all come on in with us. Come on in with us. Cub in with us. Call in 929-477-3785 and press 1 to be heard. 929-477. Mr. Vince, I want you to introduce yourself. Let us know who we got here. Tell us about this. This graced our flyer last week. And I'm going to be flipping through this. I'm moving this around while our brother is introducing himself, publishing this phenomenal piece right here. And bear with us. No. In fact, don't bear with us. Pass the curve with us. Through this magazine, you know what I'm saying? And I encourage y'all, you just make sure you know say, get your own order, so get your own, you make y'all, get your own.
Oh, me.
These, that's the pictures alone. People been eating, they've been driving, like, man, we got to get this here, you know what I'm saying? It's a phenomenal footage and some phenomenal history. It ties into, you say, you know, not just, like you say, well, I don't hear about the political stuff, you know what I'm saying? And get everything political, you know what I'm saying? How we work with the code of culture, our nephew, Capital P, you know, it's in the studio. If y'all missed it, the phenomenal street party, the annual Chairman Fred Street Party, the Real Deal Rainbow Coalition. I just, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to let my brother break the ice on who he is. We're going to tag team throughout this episode, y'all. So y'all can, again, it's 2 seconds, bro. Say, wait a minute, call a friend, let them say, listen, y'all know where y'all supposed to be at. It's Wednesday night. This is the show the people in council watching Empire was on TV. This is show people say, wait a minute, I got to go hear Freedom Hall Radio. Don't wait till you're sent to the so subscribe, go to Chairman Fred Jr., hit that subscribe button, like how they do that stuff, hit that, share this. You're on Facebook. Somebody get this on, somebody put your phone, I'm not on Instagram tonight. Put it up, tag Instagram with it. Go tweet, TikTok. This is the little young phenomenal sister I met the other day. I hope she's tuning in. Elijah, I know I'm saying her name incorrect. She's phenomenal with the social media. She's phenomenal. I hope you tune in, sister, and I hope you put the word out there. Make sure you tune in with us tonight. Back on with Rush Line, you can. You don't know the sister. You know, I got Instagram. Just her name is Elijah. We can tap somebody, get somebody to let them know that they can go film us live on Instagram and run that. Brother, again, welcome to the Hampton House. Again, it's not your first time. It's definitely not going to be your last time. Give us a little background, a little background, who you are. And man, tell us about this the history of this magazine and we've also seen this issue here.
All right, absolutely. Well, first of all, Freedom Hall, thank you for having me here at the Hampton House.
Yes, indeed.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Chairman Fred Jr.
Yes, sir.
And it's definitely an honor to be on your show. It's my first appearance, first time on your So thank God, I've been waiting.
Right on.
You know,
we're glad to have you here, brother.
And I've made it. So
yeah,
I think it's a great opportunity and a great channel and outlet to share information to educate our community across the globe.
Yes.
And that's something we can never do enough. Madiba Magazine. This is my brainchild here.
He hit me the stream y'all live. I'm tag team with him. I'm on Facebook live. Y'all see this here. We're going to have some copies here, too, with Hampton House. We also mentioned the order your own, too, now. It's
absolutely.
They call them over there, the keepsake. It's going to be something down the road. Say, damn, I should have got my issue.
This is definitely a keepsake, something that every household, really, in America, and I'm not just pumping it up because I'm the publisher, but it's something that every household in America and absolutely every household in Black America ought to have in their home, on their coffee table, on their shelf, and for a keepsake, for historical records. Of course, we have on the cover, gracing the cover, none other than Chairman Fred Jr. of the Black Panther Party Cubs and capital P, Comrade P, the new generation of Black Panthers. And this is actually a story that I have been wanting to cover for over a decade. You know, I grew up as a young man, a big fan of Chairman Fred Sr. And for a long time, I only thought that there was one Fred Hampton. And that was, the Fred Hampton Sr. that I grew up aspiring and admiring. You know, his courage, his commitment, and sacrifice that he made for our people. So, and of course, the original Black Panther Party and members of the Black Panthers, coming out, being founded in Oakland with a very large and impactful chapter here in Chicago. And I guess growing up as a young boy, I was sort of ingrained with public service and wanting to do things to better my community. To better our community, better the conditions of our people, et cetera. So I naturally gravitated towards the teachings, you know, and the contributions that Chairman Fred Sr. had made, you know, and to our society. So this, as I mentioned, I was so honored as a publisher and, magazine publisher, media company owner to be able to add some, you know, shed some light and add some new interest for readers, covering and reviewing the history and the legacy of Chairman Fred Sr. Madiba is actually inspired by the late Nelson Mandela, the great freedom fighter in South Africa, who was known as Madiba. Madiba is a South African clan name of course, Mandela was given. It is synonymous with freedom fighter, synonymous with elder, distinguished gentleman. And so the life and the legacy of Nelson Mandela and the contributions that he made to people all across the world inspired me to name this magazine, after his name he was affectionately known as. And Madiba Magazine, in keeping with that legacy and keeping with my aspirations, focuses on issues that are of importance to the African diaspora, particularly here in the United States, Black Americans, and Black people throughout the world, whether it be reparations, as you talked about. We just got over the midterm elections, our political destiny, mm-hmm. our economic destiny. There are so many things that we have to be aware of, and we have to be regularly informed of, that we have to get the information straight, not filtered through the channels of, let's say, the mainstream media. Yeah. For a long time, Chairman Fred Jr., a lot of people, and still today, a lot of people are saying, man, these media outlets, be they the conservative channels or publications, et cetera, they're telling the American people what they want to tell the American mm-hmm. people, not always giving the information straight, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get more direct and unfiltered, uncensored information that's factual coming from outlets overseas, be it the Al Jazeera, be it the British Broadcasting Network, et cetera. So long story short, African Americans, we still are fighting to be able to get accurate information to our community, information that's real, that's, you know, unfiltered, that's uncut, and information that tells us what we need to know and not what the mainstream media or system wants us to know to manipulate us, you know, on a daily basis. We all know now, we see through the politics, you know, the MAGA politics and the deep blue politics. We see how every day when we wake up as black Americans, we are being manipulated. Our minds, the fight for our minds, the fight for our votes, the fight for our dollars. You know, there's so much going on that Madiba, we aim to network our communities, our activists, which is why I'm here with you and the Black Panther Party Cubs, to be able to network our organizations that are working for the betterment of our communities, to be able to pull us together so that we're not, you know, let's say fractured city by city. You know, in St. Louis, this is going on. In Philadelphia, this is happening. In Chicago,
so this is international issues.
This is international issues. And it takes in information that's happening and affecting us throughout the world, primarily here in the United States, but also the world. And so it gives us an opportunity and a tool to be able to connect with each other, to be able to help each other, to be able to understand the problems that we're facing collectively. For example, you know, right now, I mean, you've always got a multitude of problems, but you've got the situation with the black farmers in the South where reparations and money were set aside under the Obama administration for the past wrongdoings of the Department of Agriculture and racism and prejudice that put them black farmers at a disadvantage. Now, we already don't have a lot of black farmers as it is when you compare it to the mainstream, you know, the white agricultural, you know, community. But there's been moves now to stop those payments. I believe that there's a group of white farmers who filed a lawsuit to stop the disbursement of those funds. Now, you know, incidentally, there's no movement to stop funds going to Ukraine. And to these others, but there's somehow the way.
Hope y'all listen in to these contradictions. That Stephen Lee, hey, my brother, I know you right down there, you down in Haynesville, you right, you down in Shreveport. This is a relevant discussion, Brother Robert, down there in Texas, you know what I'm saying? This is a relevant discussion for all of our people, you know what I'm saying, wherever we at, but this, we talking about, you know, black farmers. Even to put in historical context, I tell you, well, we need to get back to the farm. But the deal is, as the old action goes, anytime black folks rub two nickels together making a dime, white folks make it a crime. Again, anytime black folks rub two nickels together making a dime, white folks make it a crime. And it's, you know, just even, you know, like I have issue, we have issue even with such terms as the Great Migration, because it imposes that we just left from down south, negating the lynchings, the rape, the theft of land, you know what I'm saying, like really forcing us up out of there, you know what I'm saying? And then those of us who are still left, you know what I'm saying, you still get, you know, I mean, the sharecropping tactics, the leasing, the convict leasing, different dynamics, you know, it can be equated to the north, people talking about, you know, passing out houses down, but you'll be hard pressed to find a family that can go two generations without some mother have to put up their home, the mortgage, take a second mortgage out, you know, to bond her son out of Cook County Jail or what have you. But now, in response to legislation that, you know, saying we're supposed to disperse funds to black farmers, there's actions that have been taken about, you know, saying, I'm, you know, with the white farmers, And, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure it's just like the white farmers, it's the government itself, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And to impede that, to stop that. I hope y'all tune in. I hope y'all let people know this here, what's happening. We're talking about this is putting it in objective context of what we have situations down, you know what I'm saying, Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, with water, no water, you know what I'm saying? And we're talking about the fuel shortage, infrastructure, how it's strategically, politically, how it's set up, you know what I'm saying? Everything down from, you know, who can get a loan, who can get resources, which state. And I think Mississippi, my brother was bringing to my attention.
Michigan as well.
Michigan, you know what I'm saying? And Mississippi is known as the largest populace of black people in the country, you know what I'm saying? I think 12 cities composed that Mississippi, you know what I'm saying? It referred to like the Africa, the United States, because when you have places, Congo, which Cook County is in, at one point period of time, Cook County per capita composed the largest populace of black people per capita. And you know, so you see different attacks, you know, so you see the highest taxes in Cook County. This is not by happenstance, of course, this the murder rate. This is strategic, you know, so this is strategic, you know. So again, we not having that break here. We talking to Diva Magazine. We going to tell them, I know y'all was trying to figure out how you order, how you going to submit this information. But we'll get all that to you, though.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, brother. You tell us about the subject that is covered here historically.
Yes. And so if we look at, for example, like I was saying, with the black farmers, you know, how they're being disenfranchised in ways. Now, we're here in the North. This is how the game is played in the North. We're here in the North, so our lives don't necessarily revolve around farming and the economic benefits of farming in the cities like Chicago, Baltimore, Los Angeles, et cetera. You know, whereas our lives may be a little bit more impacted by construction. My background, I was previously a electrical construction contractor. So I know all about how the city of Chicago, for example, beat black contractors out of over $1 billion in contracting funds that were set aside, minority set aside.
Yeah.
That went under the former Mayor Daley administration. A lot of his pals went to jail for setting up fronts as minority business owners.
So they passed through Chicago.
The jobs that were meaningful jobs that should have went to young brothers and sisters, they went to whites.
And people may say, what's the big deal with that? Those as long as the building get built. Some people might take that for granted.
Exactly.
But the next question has to be similar to like we talk about gentrification. People say, oh, this is nice up down State Street now, but the next logical question is probably, where are the people at? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What happened to the people? And we look at those jobs. What happened to those young brothers and sisters?
Exactly. And this is how it's dissected. Like you said, they'll say, well, you know, they don't see how stealing the wealth via jobs in the black community, how that's a big crime. But then a lot of us up north don't see how that's a crime when the farmers are beat out of billions and tens of billions of dollars. So they dissect and they segment us and keep us separate and apart.
Yeah.
You know, so collectively we don't see. But when you and people that are lacking education that don't really understand, which is why Madiba is here to help break it down, they don't understand. Well, when you beat the black community in Chicago out of billions of dollars building the police station, the fire stations that the city has to build and renovate, or the public schools like we upgraded the power, that were millions of dollars in work to upgrade the power systems in all the public schools throughout Chicago. Well, those are jobs that are basically like $70 an hour jobs, like jobs that are paid $40 an hour and plus maybe another $30, $35 in benefits per hour. So not only are you going to make $40 or a person who's an electrician or tradesmen going to make, let's say, $40 an hour, but they're also getting another $30 or so paid per hour into their benefits fund for retirement down the road.
Is this long range? And generational wealth.
So you're looking at something like, say, $70, $80 an hour here in value times 8 hours a day.
Yeah. So you're looking at over $600 and something a day.
And that money they would turn over also in their respective community. So you go through, you see more businesses, you know, something else saying the taxes, impact the schools, and you see a whole different atmosphere.
And that's what you know, like here in Chicago, we got the Orland Square and the Orland Malls.
Wow.
And those malls are beautiful and illustrious because those shopping plazas in those white communities, because we're spending and people are spending their dollars, their money there, and it's generating all these taxes. So naturally, they have money for the best, strongest police departments, the fire departments, the best infrastructure. They got money raining down because they're getting all the tax dollars that are coming in through sales.
And then, ironically, they'll flip the script and use numbers of our community to get TIF, a tax increment fund.
Absolutely.
Then they can play pool when the beneficiaries say, well, we don't have this. So that's why, like, you can see the redistricting. You hear these different words now, like, damn, I thought Little Village was over here. You know, Chicago used to be known, it was so segregated. There were certain locales that was New Hampshire, Pilsen, Little Village, Inglewood. Inglewood, it meant black, you know what I'm saying? Little Village, you know what I'm saying? Pilsen, Puerto Rican, you know what I'm saying? But now you see the recarving up of these respective districts, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And this it used to be so structured. Like Chicago was one of the top, if not the top, segregated city in the country. And you can see the top, you know. You can hear words like the red line. That meant black people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Blue line, you know, the white community. But now you see the expansion of the pink line, brown. These it making it more vague and ambiguous, where it opens the doors for people can jump in when it's beneficial and say, okay, I'm on this side of the border. I'm on this. So I get a tax increment for them. Then go back to, you know, send the regular life and say, as you said, but you earlier, give these jobs these benefits.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and so when you have, so people are, you know, in their community.
I'm just going to give me a little more coffee. You good?
I'm great. Thank you. When people are in our communities and they're passing by these construction sites and they're saying, hey, I don't see any blacks working on those construction sites. Well, I mean, that's part of the reason, because these contractors are consistently, in large part, cut out of the process to get those contracts. And then ultimately the people who get those contracts, they employ their friends, their family, friends of friends, friends of family, and et cetera. And that usually never really reflects ultimately in people like us here. So that's why we've got to stand up and we've got to stop that process. Now, Chairman Fred, as you know now, one of the things that's happening, particularly in Illinois, is the licenses for the cannabis.
Yes.
To be able to sell weed, to be able to sell cannabis.
Well, you would think at least that black people sell weed.
Yeah.
You would think that.
Since they lock millions up,
right.
You know, hundreds
and
of thousands.
And we get the bad rap for that, the drugs, when it's a bad thing.
Yeah. But now, you basically are white or a person with access to some significant capital to be able to even invest $50,000 or $60,000 in the license you'll need to buy if you're even approved.
If you approve,
or
so it's not just site. it's not just economic.
Pay that if you approve. Yeah, if you approve.
I hope you're listening, audience. I hope you're listening.
And that's in addition to probably having to have about $500,000 to secure a location that meets
approval
standards by
this
those
is
who decide. So typically, come on. I mean, we know. I mean, not a lot of these young brothers and sisters have.
The political connections of who. It's similar to like Chicago. It's a big thing about, especially under the Mayor Daley's tenure, the cab driving. People, something that that brothers was doing. You know, the cab pickups. This is prior to pre Uber and Lyft. And then this person who from Boston was brought in to be over the cab seals. Those are those silver plates that use medallions you see over the cab. And in many cases, the only way black people got them, if they had them, they caught one, you know what I'm saying, somebody had retired, and their grandfather, they sold you the cab seal. You might have worked for this person. Your mother may have been a maid for somebody, and you could trickle down and get the cab seal. So So it wasn't that simplistic. It's just like, well, I'm going to drive. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? These were tasks and jobs that, you know what I'm saying, driving a horse, you know what I'm saying, or in some cases, they moved driving Miss Daisy. So now they drive, but then the politics of it, now you have to get the seal, pay the seal, right, and be connected on who can get you the cab seat. So those silver medallions on top of the cab, that's one just for design. So this goes to the politics of every dynamic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I mean, politics, you know,
yes,
science, who gets what,
yes,
when, where, and how.
And the impact it is.
Gets what, when, where, and
what's
how.
The psychological impact of a child seeing, going to see, going to Englewood, what have you, and you see these, you know, these white people with license plates from Wisconsin, Iowa, working. And your father, you know what I'm saying, has nothing, no input working, you know what I'm saying? And how the, you know what I'm saying, the trickle down, but this, the son, the daughter can go get a job, you know, pushing the packs. You know what I'm saying? Well, they seeing daddy, mom can't get a job. The trickle, the lack of respect, how the guy, how the family, how a woman, how a wife view a husband, how a husband view his wife, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we get called, they tell us just, you know, starts in the homes, a family unit, you know what I'm saying? But you got a situation negating the brutal reality, like even the high population of people that are homeless in Chicago.
Absolutely.
Add to that the unemployment rate with black people. Then you got white people who coming in other communities. You know what I'm saying? Other states, other countries.
And you underscored exactly what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah.
In some of our communities here in the suburbs of Chicago where they have all these factories and warehouses.
Yes.
When our growing up, you know, our older brothers and fathers and uncles, they couldn't find jobs. Well, these factories were being filled by immigrants coming across the border illegally.
Yeah.
Because the system at that time found a way that they could exploit them, make them work long hours, pay them very little,
yes,
and displace us in the workforce.
Yeah.
And they did that, you know, and oftentimes I go into some of these factories and I talk to his, you know, some Hispanics now that are maybe third generation Americans, et cetera. And they say, man, you know, our families have been in here and these factories is like right around in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working here for like the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, wow. You know, and a lot of blacks in the area didn't know that these factories and plants were even this close because you didn't wander, you know, too far away from the area where you live. But come to find out, you know, you have all these large corporation fulfillment centers,
mm-hmm,
you know, that have been out here sprinkled on the community, you know, that have been undercutting, you know, black labor for a long time. So these are issues that we've got to play chess with.
Yeah.
With them. We've got to play chess now with America, not checkers.
And let me touch on something because I want to give up. Even when we hear certain discussions, people they devalue to elementary race rhetoric. Well, other communities are getting the jobs. I want to go look at this. I want to, the political significance, like, basically, like, it's not, because it's not a blank, like, you know, like, you have to put it, let's go example from even the Italian community, we're talking the 50s and 60s, where, you know, the people would be forced to absolute, either you're saying, you're attempting an entire community to connect with the Mafo, so, you know, these are hard-working people, you know what I'm saying, who came in, you know what I'm saying, they're trying to make it, live the quote-unquote American dream. The deal is, Andy was up at a certain period and exposed contradictions, how the U.S., depending on what's at play on an international level. In other words, whether there's some sort of war being engaged, which was World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, what respective parts of a particular community who are being grabbed. In other words, there was a certain entity drafted from the Italian community, and they really was up to put on the government payroll. And we're saying, Jay Gahoo, the former director of FBI, he denied that the mafioso even existed. Fast forward to, like, even to the cartels role.
Absolutely.
And it's not the entire main community, But the U.S. grabs certain forces.
This is what's going on. I make the comparison. They talk about the MAGA Republicans, right?
Yeah.
And how they call them election deniers, right? Okay, okay. But what they're doing is they're playing the same game with the white system that the entire white system has played with Black America for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've denied our truth for a long time in this country. And so what Trump and the MAGA Republicans are doing is denying the truth to white liberals. You know, they say that Biden didn't win the election. They say these mistruths. When the first Black man, I think, became mayor, I think that was Wilson Frost of the city of Chicago. They told him no way. He was in line, the successor in line to be the next mayor after Richard J. Daley died of a heart attack. It was Wilson Frost. I think he was he was next in line for succession.
Yeah, he changed the rules, yeah.
They locked the doors.
They chained
the doors to the mayor's office in the city of Chicago, and they told him, no, that's not the way the rules work.
Yeah.
They locked him out.
That's ironic. Some situations, even after Harold Washington's.
So they took his truth. They took his truth.
The truth. Yes.
And they changed it. That was the Black truth at that time.
Yes.
That was the truth that favored us. They twisted and turned it to favor them.
Yeah.
So this is what the MAGA Republicans and the Trumps and what they're doing, they're just doing to each other, to the white establishment.
What
they've done to Black America for a long time. They've lied. They've undercut our achievements.
What's your assessment on being, why is it that the Black community has never been able to, there are certain things that is the truth, you know,
Absolutely. Facts are facts.
Is there any cases where Black people have been in a position to make a statement and say, okay, this works in our benefit, or are we forced, similar to like you're talking about the calf seals, they're forced to get the chitlins from the conversation? In other words, we've never been in play and control with the calf seals. We had to get the residue of it, the jobs in our community. Some people say, well, there'll be certain situations where we get to, like in Menard Prison, The North Siders, so like the Aryan Brotherhood, they were able to come in and have these picnics. And ironically, you know, the history of picnics is, you know, a thief there called Pick a Nigger. And these Aryan North Siders would come into prison doing the picnics. They would come in, they would ride motorcycles on the prison yard, bring it on doing the picnic, and they would come in literally with guns, actual guns, in the prison. And they would, and the white prison, the North Siders, could get the guns. And many of the Black prisoners were forced to fight amongst each other to get the rest, the raggedy guns, and to the point that the North Side would move such an arrogance, they would tell certain street organizations, y'all need to stay inside, wear your colors, we're going to move on this one. That way y'all get more guns. It wasn't until a guy named Blue, who was with the GDs at the time, they had killed him. Blue had a respect and a reverence from prisoners that superseded the different street tribe organizations, and that's what gathered all of the Black prisoners against the way we're not doing this no more. But so you see, like case after case, Black people are forced to engage in that, whether it be the music industry, whether it be the gun industry, whether it be the drug game.
Absolutely.
They are forced to, you know, take the problem feeder.
We don't have the leaders like your dad, Chairman Fred Sr., Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, that are going to stand on the truth and not going to water it down. You know, a lot of our leaders today go along to get along, compromise, you know. And we need an emergence. And that's part of, again, with the purpose of Madiba. We want to recruit thousands of new progressive leaders that are going to keep it real, that are going to lead to the benefit of the people and not for the benefit of the party, you know, for the Democratic Party or for the Republican Party.
Yes.
You know, because you've got, you know, falsification and poor leadership on both sides. I mean, when you look at like Chicago, the dilapidation of the school system, et cetera, this is a city that's been under Democratic control since the beginning of time.
But you have all humbleness. There was a climate, as you said, that we had representation, but also the option of the Black Panther Party. You have the Black Panther Party Cubs. I mean, I'm not too dumb on horn. We got
absolutely
representation. But what does this is a rhetorical question. What climate was necessary, you know what I'm saying, is necessary for people to come to grips with, you know what I'm saying, to at least acknowledge that. We had to acknowledge that you said about, says about power, we just talking about not the Cavs deals. It was what were you talking about?
Contractors.
And so several years ago, people say, oh, no, it's because we're not working hard enough. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We're in a stage of the game now.
And that we're dogma, nothing but
right, in the tactics. You know, they at least acknowledge their policy.
Mexicans work hard.
Not too long ago.
No doubt. This is the same
script
that the MAGA Republicans
run. I mean, about people regurgitate this.
They told the Mexicans, oh, you guys work so hard. You work so hard.
But even
you work hard. Than the black
man. It justifies everything. You go through the communities, you see that, like you go through Bridgeport, and you see the houses that look better on Bridgeport. You know what I'm saying? This is the area that Van Denny grew up in. And a reactionary response is they worked hard for it. Not to go in depth and say, wait a minute, the TIF, the tax increment funds, you know what I'm saying? That you say, wait a minute, how would they get this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now, I think we come up on a period of time, which is also necessary. We refer to the revolutionary time. In other words, now what I mean by that is that where people, the ante is up, like you've seen during the 60s, the Black Power was 60s, where people started, there were different, where Marvin Gaye was able to go against Berry Gordy and the gangsters who really ran Motown Records before, beyond the blackface. And say, I'm going to put this song out, what's going on, whether you like it or not. Because he had a connection to the community. It was
right.
A climate where people, where the politics was exposed, it was clear that the politics of music, where the FBI had went to Bear Gordon, the song was put out, dancing in the streets as a strategic move to contend the climate that was happening coast to coast. With H. Rod Brown, I don't know if you imagine what I mean, they had to come out with H. Rod Brown, and they connected the music to the politics. And then it was even now, where people would go past, like, you know, say this reactionary, just looking at a gym shoe, and they'll say, people, you know, like in our community, we grew up, we don't read the ingredients on food labels, you know what I'm saying? But then you stop and say, wait a minute, who's control of this? You know what I'm saying? Nike, Adidas, and there's you see the conversation, James Brown,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're not just performing, they brought James Brown to certain communities to calm people down. People say, whoa, wait a minute, why are you performing this now? Even now, people say, as opposed to with all the rappers just coming up dead, well, that's just where they rap us out, or we all, they must be Scorpios. All these type of elementary estimations you wouldn't even give them to a child. You know what I'm saying? But the people, like you said, wait, why is the French Quarter in New Orleans? Why the flood damage? Why are their houses rebuilt? Why when the certain, let's call them, the RVs, the campers,
yes,
that was given to the black community, it had formaldehyde so strong in a certain part where the baby's crib was supposed to be at that it was killing people. You said, now, one or two say, okay, it's a coincidence. So, no, this is true. You know what I'm saying? You had a debate. People say, oh, man, I don't believe they've done that back. You know what I'm saying? We don't believe they would do that to us.
Right.
There was a common conversation in the late 60s where people say, man, automatically, as soon as something happened, you know, you had to go through no debate. I tell people, when a person sees a McDonald's sign, a red with yellow M, automatically your taste buds, your palate start getting ready for some salty fries. It's automatic, time to eat, whether you're hungry or
not.
It was a climate where people automatically, as soon as a relationship, you talk to, hey, what happened, sister, what you talk? It was common. People talk, man, you heard the Tet of Fist of Vietnam. You heard about the Seoul, you know, having North Korea, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Ho Chi Minh. It was common as opposed to reactionary conversations with Kim Kardashian, you know what I'm saying? With Megan, with Lil Nas, the new drop, you know what I'm saying? Those Air Force 3000 or such. And now we're discussing, wait a minute, why would this person be given the keys to the city? Why is this rapper being a social bug? You know what I'm saying? Who's behind this here? How is this talentless person you know, speaking on our political issues. We don't see y'all bringing on no Woody Allen, discussing no political issues with y'all.
Absolutely.
Why are we even having a discussion about a Herschel Walker? The audacity, the serious conversation.
Right.
That this individual is a representative, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And yeah, incidentally, he was just brought in from Texas. He was in Texas a couple of years ago, and he was brought in and groomed by Trump to run. So he's really not a Georgian. Now, and, you know, I was just telling someone about that the other day. If the seat was being held currently by a white man in Georgia, there's no way that the Republican Party would have ran and got a black man. It's only because Senator Warnock is holding that seat in Georgia. He's a black man. So they will go and get another black man. You know, this game is still being played.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it was a white man holding that seat, would not have selected a black person for that. That would not have been appropriate in Georgia for the MAGA Republicans or for Republicans to do that.
Mm.
You know, but these are the games that the system, you know, that plays.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to what you were saying. You know, they will try to utilize, even in the case of your dad, these informants and these different people, you know, that the government and the system always feel that they can give crumbs to one of us to undo another, you know. And this is typically, you know, other communities sort of safeguard a little bit better against that. The bottom line is I've got some moral standards, and I'm not going to undercut my community and the advancement.
You
don't see it happening as much with Hispanics, where they'll undercut their heritage and their community.
But it's the same tactics waged against them. You know what I'm saying? In other words, is this, okay, if you put Martians in the position they put us in, I mean, it's common. You know what I'm saying? Like you. Okay, so Cinco de Mayo, you know what I'm saying, a widely respected, you know what I'm saying, a celebrated, you know, within the Spanish-speaking community. I don't know if you've seen downtown Chicago, you know what I'm saying, with the flag,
right.
The Mexicano flag.
Yes.
Could you imagine black people with the flag, the Marcus Garvey, the red, black, the
liberation flag.
Could you imagine that flag, black people going down, just riding around with those flags like that? Not getting pulled over by the police, not being molested, but you know what I'm saying? And have a city official stand with you downtown. Could you imagine that?
And what would be even more difficult to imagine is blacks waving those flags, storming the Capitol like they did on January 6th. Could you imagine that? I mean, with law enforcement standing down.
I think it's really, but in context, how people can say, because see, it's embarrassing to say, you know what I'm saying? Because it's embarrassing to be oppressed. But I think we should put in context also why are we in a position, you know what I'm saying? Why there's a fear factor, you know what I'm saying,
absolutely,
about coming together, acknowledging who we are,
absolutely,
and, you know.
And we are the system now, you know what I mean, with the proliferation of guns, the drugs, the crime, be it real in some situations, be it unreal in other situations, they have a fear level in the black community. We're largely fearful of each other. Broadly in the black community, and this is all part of the conditioning.
Yes,
you know that it's been going on for decades.
Yes,
Now, you know, and so this takes work, and you know, this is what Madiba, the magazine, and not just the magazine, but sort of a movement. This is what we're about: is re-educating. Leading by example.
Live direct, y'all.
You know, we can't, you know, once we make it, you know, successfully, we don't run away from the community. We run towards the community.
We commend you for even this one. This is a revolutionary act. So, you know what I'm saying? That the Panther Cubs on the front cover of the Beaver magazine, so make sure we find out how we can, you know, get our order, you know, so get them in. Sister Comrade, do we have any callers in queue? 929-477-3785.
Grandma Chairman, we have a few callers in queue. Caller in queue.
Hey,
welcome
hey.
Fremont Radio. Fremont, welcome to Fremont Radio.
Uh-oh. Hey, Fremont, can you hear me?
Fremont, we hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. It was breaking up. I just tuned in maybe in the last half hour, but just wanted to touch on a few points that was brought up. First, I want to say I appreciate you, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., for keeping this going, you know, and giving a voice to the people and, you know, all the political concepts that you bring to light and educating people. It's a lot to learn out here, man. They got the deck stacked up against us so high, you know. And soon as you feel like you on track to doing something in one direction, it's like you get overwhelmed from a different direction, like, oh, man, I need to learn about that too, you know, to protect myself in that area. And you start getting heads in that area, and they come out of left field with something else. It's like, goddamn, when am I going to get on top of this, you know? So you talked a little bit about Italians being part of the mafia and all that, and they was hardworking people and whoop wop wop. I just want to bring to the table what probably many people aren't aware of. B of A, the Bank of America, you know, that started out as being like the Bank of Italians. You know, it's like they organized and, you know, kept their money in their community, and that was their banking system that now today serves, you know, the greater parts of America, if not the world, you know. Redlining, you talked about redlining in Chicago. You know, redlining has heard all over the United States. I live in Oakland today, though I'm from Chicago, born and raised. You know, I've also lived in L.A. I've traveled all around the world, and I'm telling you that in the United States, redlining has occurred in many different places, and I want to go on to say that it's occurred around the world. And the reason I want to say that is because there are opportunity zones. It's like if you want to go to Portugal, right, and you want to purchase some property, well, they have incentive programs for Americans, or in particular Americans, but different people that want to come to the country and want to, get involved in a community, and you know, you could purchase cheaper properties in what are called opportunity zones. Well, in the United States, you know, our disenfranchised communities are opportunity zones. That's why you get the people, the Arabs and all them different people coming in, opening up liquor stores and different businesses, because they took advantage of whatever program was offered to external entities to come in and set up shop in opportunity zones. All that ties into the redlining, you know. I heard you talking about cannabis, you know, and the drug trades and getting into that and all of that stuff, right? What I'd like to say about that is, you know, you know, you got to look at what other people are doing and how other communities found success. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the Italians, the Jews, the different, you know, Irish, all these different people, different communities were at one point in time in this country in particular disenfranchised, you know. However, they have all rose to positions of power and authority in one form or fashion. You know, you just got to look at different other cities too, how they're setting up things. For example, I'm in Oakland right now, and you talk about, you know, black people in Chicago not having opportunities to set up shops in cannabis. Yeah, it does take a lot to legally do that. In Oakland, they have a program where people in particular that have had marijuana cases against them when it was illegal, they can get funding to get set up shop, you know, and get in business. And then they've organized different coalitions and stuff, whereas these people that do, former felons, do get an opportunity to get these cannabis shops. Once they start generating and making money, they got to put a portion of what they earn back into this coalition to fund other people and expand. And that program may be 2 years old now, and it's now expanding to another level where they're doing a lot of other things. I'm not a part of that program, so I can't really speak on it. I just want to touch on it. Just, you know, look at what other people are doing. Look into other people. We got the internet now. Google, man. Research, man. You know, it's not just about talking and complaining. We got to be active and vigilant. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the race and equity team here in Oakland by the
grace of God, you know, I work for a city that's, you know, really trying to improve equality and equity in this city in particular. We are following models that Seattle. Seattle was one of the first race and equity teams as a city where you're talking about government, local government took public funds to improve the equity in the community. And the mayor, I want to say that did that, you know, at that time it was like five of the richest people in the world were citizens of that community, and they didn't give a damn about equity to five people. I want to say Paul Allen was one of them. That dude had like a $50 million debt with the city, and the mayor that started that race and equity team out there, he shut off Paul Allen's lights, you know, in the efforts to improve equity. You know what I mean? That's what we're modeling here in Oakland. I believe that the city of Chicago needs to do that too. It's a grassroots effort, man. You know, you got to see what other cities are doing and get involved. You know, it starts with city council and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? What else we got going on? Man, you talk. I heard the question about, you know, what climate does it take? Man, if a frog gets thrown in some hot water, man, that's the climate for the frog to jump the fuck out the hot water. Man, this water is hot out here, Joe. We need to organize. We need to come together, put our 2 cents together, literally our 2 cents, man. I've been had a plan, you know, for taking change off the dresser to improve equity. You know, all of these, I'm fortunate to be on the Race to Equity team, and I'm fortunate to, you know, be a part of whatever I'm able to, the Lord puts my hands to be a part of, man. But I really wish we could just do for self and take this little bit that we got and you know, put together our own assets and all that. We can invest in our own businesses, man. Do you know that 80% of businesses that are for sale, like if you go to like buybiz.com, for example, just for one website that is like a public market, that's like the Craigslist of businesses for sale, you know? Man, 80% of businesses that get put on the market to go for sale go unsold, you know? A lot of businesses that are thriving, they get sold for many reasons. It might be health issues, you know, or otherwise successful, fully profitable business, you know, owner runs into health issues or their family runs into health issues. They got to go out of state or whatever, and they need to sell their business in a hurry. You know, you get discounted businesses, man. It's a whole lot of hustle and game out here, man. Real estate, you know, do you know about tax deeds and tax liens? Man, you could buy properties pennies on a dollar, man. I just bought a deed to a house in Indiana, man, for $400, man. It's an $80,000 house, you know. It's really about information and educating yourself, you know, and it's not always and probably not going to happen by going to a university. I'm not talking about a four-year education. I'm talking about in a book, man, doing studying, man, seeing what's out here. So it's plenty of opportunities out here. We just need to come together and organize. That's all I got.
Right on for your call. Let me just, you know, I encourage you to keep calling in. And I definitely want to say, you know, the Black Panther Party said information is raw material for new ideas. We on the ground down there, you know what I'm saying, over in California. In fact, we're going to get back there soon. CRC, in fact, you know, our sister Wells, double heads, our communication secretary, Carol Fife, and we a lot of the moves you're talking about, but I just want to say right on, and not just from Oakland, but I just want to say this too, and not to be a pessimist, you know what I'm saying, but again, to put it more in I don't want to simplify these struggles. You know, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to attempt, but a lot of times we'll say, if we just do this, and a lot of times people, we have discussions negating. A lot of people say, well, you know, don't come in with, you know, saying, all we got to do is pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We just get together. And, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to, you know, be like a, going to, again, not like a defeatist, but just coming in through the door. I have to acknowledge this because a lot of times people acknowledge certain things and later on down the road, like, you know, like they say, damn, this, you know what I'm saying, I didn't see the fine print, whether it be in the music industry, whether it be in real estate game, whether it be by, you know what I'm saying, just making certain moves. Because theoretically, a lot of the propositions, a lot of the things, you know what I'm saying, that's put out there, is, you know what I'm saying, it sounds on paper, sounds like we go on the internet. And we can move with this, but I just want to, again, never put our guards down. and all, you know, saying going in was, as Franz Fanon said, to be able to accept the concessions without compromising our principles. And, you know what I'm saying, and so many people, you know, saying, because I said we lose our support base by coming in. Like I said, I'm the moves thus far, you know what I'm saying, again, open. I mean, that's the sister city to the Black Panther Party with the Black Panther Party Cubs. And a lot of moves, you know what I'm saying, again, I mean, I was talking about Field Marshal earlier, Field Marshal Torque, and just, you know, when I get there, I'm charged up, you know what I'm saying. However, I still cannot negate, you know what I'm saying, when I go through, I walk through Lemert, I walk through Lake Merritt, the population of black, you know what I'm saying, black people, you know what I'm saying, how, you know, I don't, how, you know, the mass, I won't say moving, but pushing us out, you know what I'm saying, we're not just popping up in Stockton and Sacramento by happenstance. I can't devalue that. I can't negate that, you know what I'm saying. I can't negate what's happening to us, you know what I'm saying, in our communities. That, because again, in theory and on paperwork, this system is Machiavellian with its paperwork. We can look at the U.S. Constitution, for example. You know what I'm saying? Even though there are certain blatant contradictions, which I must say, I gotta throw this in there too. There's some, I just met this brother, Max Thompson. They engaged in a whole bunch of stuff about, even, you know, translating in the language in the Constitution about the slavery. But it's a lot of the Constitution, it's a lot of stuff that theoretically speaking, you can say, wow, this sounds good. You know, life, liberty, we can work hard. But the reality is, Minister UEP Newman, that says the Constitution that comes out to our people is nothing more than pagan poetry. You know what I'm saying? It sounds good. There's a catch-up. Let's, for example, you mentioned about, okay, Indiana, the property. Okay, what part of Indiana that is? We talking about the property with the tax liens, bro? What part of Indiana is that?
Can you hear me?
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. They muted me, man. They put the boot on me, man. It's all in Indiana, man. You can do that all in.
Hold on. Who muted you?
Go ahead.
Who muted you? No. We ain't gonna mute you. No. You're free to comment here, but so if it's us, you know what I'm saying, the state, the county, the surgery, they might pull a stunt with you on this here, you're free to talk here, brother. No, this is free on my radio here, bro. Yeah. What part of Indiana, you do a little background, look, this ain't that. This is free on my radio here, man. So if any technicalities happen, this is the state coming to us, man. So no, okay. So again, question, what part of Indiana were you, this beautiful mood is happening about, you just go get property and grab these apples up these trees and, you know what I'm saying, and this American dream. What part of Indiana? Just out of curiosity.
Let me say this. There's over 5,000 counties in the United States. Every single county sells tax deeds. This is how they recoup.
What part of Indiana do you have? Let's go with that. Let's go with the hypothetical. What part of Indiana do you have that you just got this property? What part of Indiana?
Well, that's not a hypothetical. That's a specific piece of information. But I purchased this tax deed in Vigo County.
What county?
V-I-G-O. V-I-G-O.
Do you know? V-I-G-O. Do you know what city that's in?
The county?
No, city. Have you been on the ground with the prophet?
Have I physically been there? No, I have not physically gone there myself.
You see, you got it on the internet, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm dealing with real concrete, tangible situations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
While we talking, I want to know. Have you ever been to Indiana, the state of Indiana?
I have been to Indiana.
Yeah, I have been
to Indiana.
What part
have you been to?
What part have I been to?
What part of Indiana?
Let me see. I used to buy, when I was living in Chicago as a young man, I used to buy my gas in Hammond, Indiana. As an investor, I've gone to different parts of Indiana, different counties looking at properties out there. I've gone through Lake County. I've gone through, what's that, St. Joseph County. I've gone through, LaPorte County.
LaPorte, yes, sir. Are you familiar with the politics of Indiana? Are you familiar with the politics of Indiana?
Oh, man. Yeah, I am familiar with the politics a bit of Indiana.
Enlighten those who may not be, we can balance this American dream out a little bit. I'm not trying to be a defeatist. I want to give people the good, the bad, the ugly. Like even when I'm organizing, a lot of people, when they talk about organizing, they say, listen, some people can call and say, I got 5,000 friends, and they tell them what they have, mm-hmm. they have on social media. When I talk, I represent my constituents. I say, listen, I got some guys with me. Some of them got some issues. Some of them fucked up. I can depend on them. These are, you know what I'm saying? The things with comrades.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, okay, not the internet. I'm talking about the politics of Indiana. You know what I'm saying? This is something
yeah.
to see.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when with the brutal reality, you know what I'm saying? See, when I talk about, when people come, I just got the dogs, I'm at the Hampton House. The dogs are barking. We got these dogs we call the Hampton House.
Yeah.
I talk now, I can give you, some people can see the pictures of the golden retrievers on the TV. So these are beautiful puppies. We have a group text with the puppies and the dogs we just had. We talk about a discussion from dog shit, smelling, barking, dog's temperament. You know what I'm saying? The underbelly. See, the Black Panther part of it, he said, oh, I have my uncle, he has another jacket also. You know, they knew the Panthers. I'm talking, when I discussed this, I'm talking about Chairman Fred and Deborah Johnson not having no hot running water in the apartment, going down the street to Barbara Sankey, who's on the Lieutenant Finance Committee, going down, you know what I'm saying, to take a shower in her mother's home. When I'm talking about the organizer Chairman Fred's street party, was at August 30th. A lot of people look in there and say, well, I was with such and such, the Black Lives Matter, they had an event, they had 5,000 participants there. I'm talking about the agent of Obama Tour. The good, the bad, and the ugly. A lot of people talk about, you know what I'm saying? They say, well, the music is my friends in the music business. They made a successful thing about the music. I'm talking about the breaking process. I'm talking about the behind the scenes, the rewriting of music and the cutthroat policy that goes on there. I'm talking about Indiana. I'm talking about outside of Gary. I'm talking about the second birth after Tennessee, where the Ku Klux Klan was birthed at. So what I'm saying, I'm talking about the policy. I'm talking about the policies of even going down this home that someone that can be bought and purchased. But then it comes out there, well, so at the end, you know what? I got a house in Indiana, and then they get down there. I say, whoa, I didn't know Black folks came to, you know, say the shit.
I'm listening. I hear you.
When I talk to people about different places about going, I ask, even when I go speaking engagements, I say, how was the weather? Some people don't know me, say the brother's advice. Other people jump in the country and say, no, when the chairman asks you, how was the weather? He's talking about not only the what you think the weather. He's talking about the political climate. He's talking about, you know what I'm saying, how progressive. You know what I'm saying? He's all this has to be taken into account. You know what I'm saying? What type of Alabama prisons? Who's the point person? What organizations are taken seriously there? I just come back from down south. We got some calls coming in a minute. I come from down south. I got Alabama, Mississippi. I hop in the car. You know what I'm saying? I ride with Jacob Blake, you know what I'm saying? Cortez Wright, Bianca, up here, Breonna Taylor. When I get there, I'm doing I'm on a pivot. Okay, I need to know where I'm pulling in at. You know what I'm saying? What type of politics is here? You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to say, on one hand, they're going to say, well, there's a lot of Black people out here. I have to be armed with something a little more sterner than that. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my way to the political context. We can have a whole bunch of Black people. But the deal is, like Minister Pinu said, some people have a lot of guns. Minister Pinu said we must even politicize the gun. To be able to, you talk about like the music, that's a tactic that the system does. They elevate certain people. Say, well, we got a lot of black people in position here, and you start talking. You say, well, damn, these people don't know shit. So if you talk about, you know, they disconnected from the black community. We talk about Indiana. So the building that you, the housing that you have down there. What are you planning on going down there at some stage in the game or go visit this house that you have? If I'm praying, let me know. I'm just curious. What are you like? You are praying, brother.
I wasn't gonna get into all my plans and all of that, because when you put all your plans out there like that, that's what opens room for enemies to attack your plans.
Okay.
You know, I'm not trying to go down that road.
I got you. I want to serve your
message. All I'm saying is there are opportunities now. To your point. To your point, brother, the lone sheep are out there, you know, is subject to the wolves, you know, but many hands make light work, you know, even of wolves, you know. That's why we need to organize, brother.
And not to my point, to the objective, what I got to is only wolves and sheep out there, it's pigs out there. I'm dealing with a jungle.
Yeah.
I'm acknowledging. See, a lot of people talk. See, when I talk about, see, I'm taking into account. We don't say I want to lay this out. You know what I'm saying? But I have to keep in mind that there is a counterinsurgency. You know what I'm saying? That you know what I'm saying? That this again, this and theoretically, like, let's go to Chicago, please. I won't pry to your this thing you have going on in Chicago.
Yeah.
In Chicago, technically on face value, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. You heard him?
Uh-uh.
Former mayor.
Yes. Former mayor, Rahm Emanuel. He's the brother of Ari Emanuel, the one who just said called for the shutdown of Kanye West. That's just one of his brothers. Now, program. Yes, there's a program that was put out to people about you can get these vacant lots for a dollar. You can Google it. For $1.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Now, You familiar with that part, right? I'm sure. What else are you thinking about that program?
In order to purchase a lot for a dollar, you have to already own a property that's on that same city block, to my understanding.
Yeah. What else? You're correct. What else?
Oh, I think that's about the extent of my knowledge there, brother.
The extent of your knowledge. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so once you go down there, fill out all your forms, give them all your information, so on and so forth, then the pig's teeth are shown. Once you're in his mouth, your previous parking tickets that you had, you know what I'm saying? Excuse me?
No, I'm just getting into what you're saying.
I've submitted all your information. And remind you, not only is the Black Panther Party, but this is the information is raw material for new ideas. The state does it also. Information. A lot of people think cell phones are just free, but they get information. So once after all the information is submitted, that's when the different dynamics come out. You follow what I'm saying? About, okay, wait a minute.
Yes.
Previous parking tickets, so on and so forth. You follow what I'm saying? And it opens the door to the baffled aspects of your life. Or as you said, crying. It's kind of like in court. When they ask the person, okay, now, if you take the stand, it opens the door for this coming at you from questions. You know what I'm saying? If you don't take the stand, they can't move. Once you're involved in a process, it opens the door for the state to make moves on you, the co-signee, all these different dynamics that's not advertised. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the cigarette commercial used to be. You know what I'm saying? You're on TV and say, this is beautiful, it's a relief. You see the lady, she's blowing a cigarette. Then, you know what I'm saying, the Surgeon General's warning is in the small print. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying, I'm made an objective analysis to say, wait a minute. Let's do a historical account. Who are we dealing with? Or is it the Native community, the Indigenous community? We say white man speaks with forked tongue. You know what I'm saying? To take into account, we're dealing with an entity that has broke treaty after treaty. We're dealing with an entity that, you know what I'm saying, that ripped our grandparents off from, you know, saying, doing sharecropping, convict leasing. So to come in to, you know, saying, to even present some sort of simplistic, non-nefarious way, all we got to do is woo out the band. Is a discredit to the history of this country, to the history of what it does to us. As opposed to, listen here, this we can do, but you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, but in an objective way, so you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't come into a relationship saying all we got to do is come together. A woman going to say, wait, I'm saying, you and the guy, I only take it, I love you, you love me, we good to go. Hold on, you know what I'm saying, what about this, what about that? Not saying we can't challenge it, but to be upfront and say, wait a minute, let's count. What's your past relationships like? What's the, okay, let me just, now I get a history, but you know what I'm saying? But let me see, at least acknowledge this so we can, we come through the door eyes wide open. As opposed to someone, in many cases, like before I was taken to State Bureau of Prison, there were these guys who I refer to as used body cells. They were the individuals who would sell to children of coming generations, how beautiful was the prison. You'll see the pictures of them with the jewelry. You know what I'm saying? You'll see all these different dynamics to the point that some people was trying to go to State Bureau prison. Then when you got there, you seen the underbelly of what was going on in this system. They was already captured. Mm. Senator, you know what I'm saying? New era chattel slaves. They had a certain particular thought. They had a certain particular slave at the front gate. But you say, wait a minute, you know, man, yeah, master do this, man. You know what I'm saying? And then once, you know, as opposed to, man, I told something yesterday. I say I'm enslaved. I'm not a slave. In many cases, people who've been inside the sausage factory. Let's go with that term. When it strikes them individually, they say, wait a minute, we have a problem now. But you know what I'm saying? I come to contact, you know what I'm saying, like on the front, on the outside looking in. You know what I'm saying? People, it's different groups, you know what I'm saying, dress up. You say, oh, that's a Black Panther. You know, outside is real good. And you bait people in, and then later on, somebody called me, well, I gave, you know what I'm saying, money, but the writing was on the wall. We have a system that is historically the MO of the U.S. And when we almost get to a point that automatically we should come in conscious of who we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? And also, whatever concessions they give, again, what Francis Fanon said, to be able to accept the concessions without compromising our principles. We live direct on Free MR Radio, Spirit of Making History, Taking History, and Taping History, man. All right, on, we encourage you to call in again to us. You know what I'm saying? We say, man, information, raw material for new ideas. Again, we welcome that. We encourage
that. Yes, sir.
Let's don't let's get that fine print. Making History. Okay, we live direct on Free MR Radio, 929-477-3785. Press 1 to get in. That's what it is. So you're right. We got another call. I want to cut you off. You're not muted. You're not calling. Are you good on your call,
brother? Go ahead, brother. Thank you. I appreciate you.
I'll be in Oakland soon, brother. Well, bring on this call.
All right, I can't wait to meet you.
That kind of explains things to me now that you, okay, your call. I just took for granted you was in Oakland. You already met me before. That okay, now I feel a lot better.
I can't wait to meet you. I missed you when you was out for the presentation of Dewey P. Newton's, when your mom got that award and the picture.
You haven't met people. Okay, I was a little confused with this. You say, Oakland, I be up there a lot of times more than I be, you know what I'm saying, in Chicago. I took for granted you met me, but I should have known you haven't met me before. I look forward to meeting you as well, bro.
Yeah. We talked on the phone, though. Your cousin. David Newton called
you
and connected
me,
us,
brother,
on the phone.
Okay, who connected us on the phone? Who could it?
David Newton.
Who?
David Newton.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right on, brother. Right on. Okay. Well, I look forward. Okay. I'll be back. I'll be back to the other mother country for this month, latest month or beginning of December. Yeah, no doubt. Right on. I look forward to meeting you as well, brother.
We have the great brand, brother.
Right on. Free them all. Yes, sir. Free them all.
All right. Free them all. Free
on this call here, please. Right on. Free them all.
Grandma Terminal, we have caller area code 901-497.
Fremont, welcome to Fremont Radio.
Greetings to you, comrades. All power. All power to the Super family.
Welcome to Fremont Radio. How you feel? Talk to us.
Greetings. Oh, great, brother. Great, brother. This is Chief Eagle Eye, Minister. This is Chief Eagle Eye, Minister of Defense. Greetings. Great to meet you this morning. This evening, brother.
Welcome to Fremont Radio. You live and direct.
Me from being from the old school, my bro. And I've been listening to a lot of people lately. It's been a long time. This is 60 years that we still going through the same routines, my brother. And I understand the situations that the young and the ideas that the young are bringing. But I believe that the situation that we all are encountering is a lot more complicated and confusing to a lot of people because of we got too many people claiming different entities. I think the key factor that's within us, and I know that it's a gentle, because, see, I hear you say, Fred, all the time, all we got to do is unite. I just heard the young brother say the same thing. I've been on some of them phone calls, brothers, and it don't make sense to me that the older people in our families are not uniting like they should. If we all paid attention to Kyrie the other day when he talked to the millennials, it's not that hard. And I'm just glad to see that that brother stood up to say what he did that gave the purpose to that millennial age group, because that has not happened in a long time. No one has given the age group a purpose. This man, I done went through the generation. I'm born in the 60s, right at the end. So I was born out of that, where my mama was watching all that stuff go on, the same way y'all mother, you know, birthed out the thing that's going on right now. And then to see everybody wake up after the 70s and then go back to sleep after the 90s, and then we already in 2020 and we still got the same house Negroes promoting the same things in our same state as if we not here. As if our children want to suffer some more. See, I'm really hoping that this message tonight, Fred, that's why I called in, bro, because I know you're real important out here to the movement. But all these entertainers, bro, over with for us trusting them. If they not speaking like Kyrie speaking, we don't even need to even support them no more. Unless we just want our kids to be slaves soon again. You know, Dick Gregory mentioned this, and that's the only person that I let slide that was an entertainer back then, other than the minister. I let the minister slide because he was an entertainer also. But see, everybody's not built like that. And a lot of people just do things for likes and claps. Mm. And they want to have this title as being somebody. But ain't none of us giving no solution on freedom. Because when we say, let's get together, everybody got an excuse. So then it falls on me and you. Because the ones around us are not afraid, brother.
I'm not afraid. They're cowards. Yeah, they're not afraid. They're cowards, bro. Straight up. Bro, I'm 54 years old. Them are cowards, bro. The generation in between mine and the generation in between the millennials, bro, are some of the worst Negroes we got. They don't care about nobody. They're not uplifting themselves. But y'all know I ain't blaming that on them, right? Because their mamas and daddies that was my age never talked y'all shit. And I'm putting it out there. Notice that the people that are in my age group are smoking cigars. They following Steve Harvey and that group of people. They're unhealthy. Ain't none of them trying to get healthy. They're not detoxing. I've been on so many calls and asked so many so-called leaders why they never said nothing about Dr. Sabi. It's incredible. Now the brother is gone, and they still hiding that he was curing everybody. That don't make sense at all.
Excuse me, bro. Just for our listeners, okay, some people are just tuning in. Let us know where you're from again, and your name, and who you are again. Some people just tuning in. What location you from, and who you are again?
I am Chief Eagle Eye, Principal Chief of the Coosa Nation of North America. I'm also the Chief of Operations for Coosa Nation North America. I'm also Minister of Defense of the 21st Century Black Panthers. That's my title that they gave me. I didn't ask for it. I try to put in some work. I try to put in some work. People recognize who I was. I've been around here for a long time. Me and Rico became good friends. And we were calling all these people. Huey's Newton's son, Rico Dukes.
Oh.
And we talk all the time about this, you know, the same situation, bro. And I hope that me and you could get together and have a little bit more conversation about it, too, because they're not wasting no time on us. I can hear what the young brother was saying in the back end. He don't like to give up his... Bro, they been knowing your location. I'm going to put it to you like that, young brother. They been knowing your location. If you think you conscious, they been knowing your location. They already took your blood sample, and they know what your family think like. That's how complicated they've become. So don't think you're going to hide. Ain't no hiding. I hear people say that all the time. Man, I ain't going to say nothing. Man, I don't need to be in the front. But you better believe, for freedom, you're going to be somewhere. Ain't no hiding for freedom, y'all. Dr. Sabi did everything he could to hide from the pharmaceutical companies before they killed him, before they paid off somebody in his family to kill him. Yeah, I put it out there because I know. I'm a natural herbalist also. And I'm friends with one of his nieces. And we sell herbs in Memphis, Tennessee, on 3rd Street, where the original herb place is, because everything else is shut down. They're not selling real herbs in Los Angeles. Don't play with me. We still cure people out here. 4th stage cancer, AIDS. We didn't even fade COVID out here. Not us, not me. I wasn't wearing no mask. You wasn't going to catch me with one on because wasn't nobody going to say I was part of that crew that was lost. It wasn't about me arguing with somebody. It was about showing that I'm not lost. And I'm not going to let them poison me. I just said I'm an herbalist and I'm going to cover up my face with something that's going to clog up my exhaust system. Dr. Sabi was here for a reason, and all of those leaders never said nothing about him because he wasn't religious. So they only talk about the religious ones. What about the natural ones? They're not special. We all don't have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
See, they killed Dr. Sabi's sister that same week. How many people knew that? And then the goons came in her house. Three, four of them came through one window, and she went out the back window. While these Negroes run around want to do documentaries, they still trying to kill certain family members. It's not a joke out here, y'all. I said every day. I talk to her every day. We keep protection on ours. Y'all know what I mean? Because that's how important they were. And I've tried to convince Dr. Sabi of this. People tried to convince Dr. Sabi, man, to keep somebody with him all the time. But Dr. Sabi was just so free and loving. That's why you never heard him say nothing about nobody and no religions or nothing nobody was doing wrong. He didn't care. He had a purpose to put in work. And when he went in the courts, he put in work. The same way I met Rico, and I went in there and put in some work. The same way I took on my indigenous self and took on international law and went in there and put in some work, y'all. See, yeah, I guess paperwork put us in it. Some of the paperwork don't get us free. And if the paperwork don't get us free, you know what the hell we coming with next. I ain't got to say it. And I ain't scared to say it. They already know where I'm at. When Illuminati send you them pictures and they ask you to come and join, they know who you are. But if they show up, I'm going to show up. Bro, I'm not with it. I'm with my grandchildren being free. I'm with your grandchildren being, I'm with everybody else's grandchildren being free. That's what's getting ready to happen. And all these cats out here that don't want to get together truly are our enemies. Because we don't have playtime. And then really we don't have to get together. All of us, what are they doing in their groups to save their people? So let them do what they're doing and let their people be lost if that's what they want to do. Follow people because we're leading by example. So the example is, make sure you got some land. Make sure you got some water. Make sure you got some shelter. Make sure you locked and loaded for revolution, civil revolution. Because then when the white folks ran up in that building, that was civil war. Just like they in war in Ukraine right now. What, y'all think it ain't going on? So the height, what is it, at orange right now? Really? It ain't never changed since 95, and Dr. Collin was reading it out to everybody, telling us that book from from William Cooper's book, where they were are on their levels against us. We didn't pay no attention. Well, y'all just don't know what's in the car. Because somebody paid attention to everybody. Paid attention to the minister, Steve Coakley, Fred Hampton, Dr. Clark. Somebody paid attention to Sabi, everybody, and gave honor to him. Because we don't disregard nobody's purpose. Because we don't care how
you gonna
come.
We're going to jump in on you, bro. Give us some contact for people. I see a few people. You want to give us your contact, or people can get in touch with your respective organization or whatever. Because you know, I think you said where you was at, but we're gonna be touching. We got some callers calling in now. I believe in Gulfport, Mississippi. I don't know if that far it is from you. I think you say from the south, Tennessee. I believe we're gonna be talking about
that's
the case Donnie McMillan too. So you just say. Okay, so we about to talk about, let's get some updates before we close out. So we're gonna let you close out. Give us any close information. Again, your organization or who you are, your social media contact. You're free to provide that also.
I can be reached through They Fear True Federal Government of America. I can be reached through Crucis Nation of North America. You can reach me at 901-497-8304. Y'all know that's the 901. That's Memphis.
Okay, Memphis. Okay. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, okay. We live direct on Fremont Radio. Well, I think we got some more callers calling in about the case of Jaheim McMillan. So what's the status on that? Who is Jaheim McMillan? Why are people saying fuck Family Dollar down there? What's the update? What's the status? Oh, come on in, calling the Cub in with us live and direct. What's your thoughts and ideas on that? And just came from down there. Also, just touched on Alabama, the case of, I hope Sister Tina's called in. Tina called in, which is your son's case in Alabama. Forgive me. Tina, if you want to call, tap in with us with your son's name in Alabama. This is a young brother who's locked up, 15 years old. Give him a life sentence, but we work on his case. So, Tina, if you're listening, call, make sure you call us just updates on his respective. Yeah. So, comrade, do you have callers in queue?
Fremont, Chairman, we have a caller from area code 214-334, Fremont College.
Okay. I think we can squeeze two more callers in. We moving and grooving. Welcome, Theo.
Hey, how you doing, Fred? Can you hear me?
Welcome to Fremont Radio. Who we got? Where you from? Yeah, I hear you loud and direct. Welcome to Fremont Radio. Hosted by Chairman Fred Hamilton, Robin Allen, a.k.a. Lady Ray. Welcome to Fremont Radio.
How you doing? For all you listeners, my name is Rico Dukes. I'm the son of Dr. Huey P. Newton. I'm the leader of the 21st Century Black Panthers, RCDHPN. I'm the CEO and founder of the New American Federal Government, They Fear True Federal Government of America. DUNS number 118692752. And I just want to touch in on a couple of topics today that I heard on your show today. And I'm going to start out with the first one, is the revolution movement and organizations. The reason why it's so hard for the unite, because the 1966 Black Panthers that was founded by my pop and co-founder Bobby Seale, it was for economic gain, black power, meaning for us to have our own government, our own hospitals, our own schools, our own daycares, our own transportation, our own ambulance, our own nation. Today, all we have is a lot of podcasting and a lot of going around toting guns, and that's not an economic system. Oh. That's not what the Black Panther stood for. Oh. Second of all, in regards to that nature right there, how can we come together so strong when so many organizations are fused about the son of Huey P. Newton? All the way from it goes deeper all the way to COINTELPRO. It goes very, very deep. It goes very deep. So it's going to be hard for us to restructure and reconvert the younger generation mind when it's still so much hostility that was left in the old generation of the Black Panther that spewed over into the new generation. So the new generation already didn't have no self-control in order to be able to form a real revolution like the original Black Panthers of Oakland, California. We have to address certain things, and we have to put certain things out in the open. We have to let the world know that my pop and Bobby Seale wasn't cool when my pop got killed. We have to let the world know that my pop had Bobby Seale severely beaten, then left him to go to Philadelphia with his wife's family. We have to clear up the fact that Bobby Seale was the only one that knew who I was, where I was, and what family was raising me. We have to clear up the fact that Frederica Newton is fully aware of me. We have to clear up the fact that Frederica's niece, Rachel, is fully aware of me. We have to clear up the fact that my cousin, my pop's nephew, David Newton, is fully aware of me, talks to me all the time. So if
My pop was the founder of the Black Panthers that stood for the people of the poverty minority communities. If hostilities towards
they just told you got 50 more seconds, brother. Got to get another call in also. So,
yeah.
Am I muted?
No, you're not muted, but you got about 10 more seconds.
Okay. Oh yes. And I want to go on to another topic right here. Independence. Only way for us to become independent.
We got two more calls.
Yeah, only way for us to become independent, we have to have resources. How can we become an independent nation when we don't have no gas, no oil, no water, no land, no hospital, no grocery store? This is how the oppressors keep us oppressed. The leaders of the so-called leaders of the day, we got to stand up and do that. We got to give the people something so they can be dependent.
Live that record for your mom radio. Y'all, you need to be a last call. They can get in. If that last call don't make it in, call in next week. If you can squeeze them in. Live and direct, 929-477-3785. If you do not make it, call in next week. Live and direct, 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Are we still on?
Yeah, I'm still
on,
here.
Dream on,
Cameron.
Dream on, did other callers get it coming in? Dream on.
Caller Q, press 1 to speak.
Gotta do it quick.
I think that's our time, Chairman. Oh, hold on, Jim. I got one coming in.
Y'all call in.
Hey,
929-477-375. Press 1. What happened?
Hey, Jim.
Hello? Okay, you're free them all. Take it on out to the comrade. Madiba, give me it real quick.
MadibaMag.com.
Okay.
MADIBA mag, MAG.com, Madiba Magazine.
Okay. Having that right, y'all. Get y'all orders in. Because that's free them already on live and direct. Make sure you're taking history, taking history, y'all. 929-477-3785. Take it out, comrade. Take it out.
Yeah, you know me, so if you wanna see me, turn on on your headlights. I'm making run red lights, trying to catch it. Slamming through the radio in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away, cut down, mowed away, curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller, motherfucking MC cold killer. When I cock back, you better drop that, yo hop back, I rock at the dawn, yes I'm still rock on.
Number one, motherfucker.